इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इंडिया एट 70 हियर एट इतिहास। इन द लास्ट एपिसोड आई एंड प्रज्ञा वर टॉकिंग अबाउट अ हिस्टोरिक डे इन द इंडियन हिस्ट्री, 6th ऑफ डिसेंबर 1992 व्हेन बाबरी मस्जिद वाज डिमोलिश्ड। वी डिड डिस्कस व्हाट लेड टू इट, बट मोर इम्पॉर्टेंटली वी हैव टू डिस्कस द आफ्टरमैथ और द रिपरकशंस दैट दिस पर्टिकुलर इंसिडेंट हैड। Pradnya, after the Babri Masjid was demolished, there must have been some immediate reactions or the immediate repercussions of the event. What were they?
So, Kalyan Singh, who was the Chief Minister of Uttar Pradesh, took the responsibility and resigned as a Chief Minister, and President's rule was imposed in the state. After that, Advani and other leaders which were present at the rally, they were arrested. After that, there were riots across the nation in all major towns and cities of the country, which killed almost 2,000 people. After that, there was a series of 13 bomb blasts in Mumbai. Daud Ibrahim, the Muslim don, took the responsibility of the riots.
Underworld, which is actually driven on some other motto,
right,
which is different from the routine life, you can see that even the underworld was not immune to the religious tension and the religious divide that this particular incident created. Because Chota Rajan, who was a Hindu don, actually a protege of Daud, he fell out with Daud on this line, saying that I'm a Hindu and what you did was a very religious act and I do not stand with it. So there was, I condemn it. So there was a fallout even between the underworld leaders. So imagine the impact on other lesser mortals like us.
Yes. And also, in case of Maharashtra politics, I cannot stop myself from saying that. But yes, Shiv Sena did have a rebirth after this, after the riots in Mumbai. But the more important part we need to discuss is the long-lasting effects, I think, which India is suffering till now. One of the major effects of this Babri incidents was the assertion of religious identities. The slogans like Mandir Vahi Banayenge, Garv Se Kaho Hum Hindu Hai, these kind of stickers were a commonplace. Whereas stayed in Nagpur, every household had one of these stickers. I don't remember any household worshipping Ram as the god, you know. But people started worshipping Ram, and the religious practices was out in the open. It came from the personal realm to the public domain.
Right.
And I guess this had a major effect on the social fabric of a country which called itself secular.
Absolutely. I would say religions became so polarized that they refused to accept the existence of a softliner. Yeah. I'll tell you how. For example, I'm a Hindu by birth and I have no problems in admitting that I'm a Hindu. But yet, till today, if you ask me, I do not support the demolition of that mosque. And very frankly, I really don't care enough about it because there are bigger issues in front of me.
Absolutely.
Rather than whether you should build a mosque or you should build a mandir or you should build, I don't know, a swimming pool or whatever. So, but, and I am sure there are more people like me in my community who are of a similar thought that we really don't support what happened with Babri. But the other community refuses to accept an existence of people like me.
Of a right liberal.
Of somebody you would call as a right liberal.
Right.
And I am sure that there are other people in my own community who do the same, who refuse to accept that a liberal, progressive Muslim can exist, which actually we know a lot of them. They do exist.
Correct.
So this polarization was sort of, it happened permanently.
Is the caste politics, which did shape up after the Mandal implementation, it kind of took a backseat. Like, politics of Mulayam Singh Yadav and Lalu Prasad did take a backseat in Uttar Pradesh. And this did help BJP to gain power across the country. One more thing about BJP's national agenda was of cultural nationalism. It is assuming that if you practice a certain religion, then you are a nationalist. Then you can identify with that country. But India is a secular country. So this cannot be happening in this country.
Correct.
Whereas in Pakistan, whose official religion is
Islam,
they can say something like this. Yes, the roots of the same happening also lies in the Shahbano case. The demand for uniform civil code, which had been in India, it could have been satisfied. Congress did not pay any heed to it.
I agree. I would say, okay, more interestingly, Ram as a god or as a person also became an icon for good governance here.
Correct, correct.
I don't know if good governance is the right term. I think utopia might be a better term suited, because Ram Rajya in Sanskrit means utopia, an ideal state of affairs. So what BJP or the other sister organizations did were, they capitalized on this word Ram.
Correct.
And they sort of extended this to a promise of good governance.
It had its roots in Bofors. Congress was ridden with the scams like Bofors. See, this actually, the entire case, right from Shahbano, there was a series of incidences which blatantly undermined the importance of constitution and the court of ruling. They undermined the institutions which are supposed to upheld the integrity of a country. But this incidents actually blatantly sidelined it.
Absolutely. And I think you can still see the pattern where rule after rule, there are so many protests and so many consistent uproars of dissent to a particular verdict. There's one more effect that I have recently seen. Not recently, actually. It might have roots in this incident. There is a feeling. I don't think it's a real feeling. I think it's a manufactured feeling. There is a manufactured threat. A consistent threat to a particular religion or a particular community. Somebody or the other, okay, it might be when the whole intolerance debate was going on some time ago, it might be the Muslim community. Or when the whole, the recent issue of Padmavati, the movie, there's Hindu community who's, somebody or the other consistently is saying that our religion is threatened, our religion is threatened, which is very ridiculous, because if you look at day-to-day affairs, we hardly have, at least the urban people, hardly have anything to do with religion. And I think the pattern is growing, and it's a cause of worry. If we are we so immature that our religion takes, you know, our sentiments get hurt for every single thing?
Yeah, I think the sentiments getting hurt, the something which we called call in Marathi, Bhavana Dukhavana. This kind of politics also has its roots in Babri, I think. See, even today, even after 25 years of the Babri demolition, the court is still hearing the plea after Subramanyam Swami plead to the court. So there's on 7th of February, I think, 2018, there is still a hearing of the Supreme Court on the same issue. I really hope 25 years from now, we're not hearing the same case.
I think so too. But, you know, there's a fair chance that it might still be the case where 25 years later, we are still stuck on the issue. Well, to sum it up, we can say that demolition of Babri Masjid created a permanent rift between the two communities of India, Hindus and Muslims. And I think back then, we were too young to do anything or to even understand what it means. But now that we are old enough to raise a generation, what we could probably do is teach them that do not consider religion to be of utmost importance in your life, because there are several other issues that we have to face on day-to-day basis, right from the air pollution in Delhi, I mean the environment in general, to terrorism and hundreds of other things, equality, poverty, I mean the list is endless.
Absolutely.
So point is, let's at least hope that the sense prevails, people stop being divided on religious lines, and we grow as a society mentally in years.
Mature.
We become more mature. If that is the lesson that we can learn from Babri and the violence that followed it, nothing like it.